This is Sheila O'Reilly of CFRU 93.3 FM, bringing you today the segment of Our Little Town.
By November of 2004, the number of gambling-related suicides in Ontario alone stood at 15, a sharp increase from the 6 recorded in 2002. Yet, in spite of this marked increase, the government is planning further expansion of the gambling location, saying that it relies on the $4 billion annually spent at these government-run facilities. In fact, it's saying that it's doing all it can to address problem gambling. $36 million was spent on research into addictive gambling in 2004, about 2.6 of what gamblers are spending. These statistics come from Guelph Mercury in an editorial dated November 8th of 2004. Last month, we talked with Dr. Francesco Leary, an addictive research expert, about the phenomenon of problem gambling. And here to talk with me today is Roger Horbe, the president of Game Planet, a company delivering services and consulting professionals, those who deal with the problem gambling population. Roger, first of all, thanks for spending the time with me today.
Well, it's a pleasure, Sheila.
Okay. Roger, first, could you take us verbally through a casino for those of us who don't know what the inside of a casino looks like?
Well, casinos are usually flashy, glittery places. The majority of casinos now have lots of electronic gaming machines, including slot machines or video slot machines, sometimes called video lottery machines.
Mm-hmm.
About 80 to 90% of a casino's profit comes from the machines. Here in Ontario, we have both casinos and racetracks with slots. The difference is at the racetracks that have slots, they don't have table games such as roulette, blackjack, pie-gal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They just have rooms full of machines.
Okay. Now, the video lottery terminals you were talking about are also called VLTs?
Yes.
And they're especially dangerous, are they?
Well, everybody thinks that VLTs are bad and,
mm-hmm.
and slot machines aren't that bad, but they're basically the same technology. Here in Ontario, they say we don't have VLTs, but in fact, we do, but they call them video slot machines instead. Just
okay.
Trying to put a spin on it so that it doesn't sound so bad.
Okay. Roger, I'm sure you'd agree with Dr. Leary that problem gambling or addictive gambling is gambling that's gone out of control. And Dr. Leary was talking about, like any gambling or any addiction to food, drink, sex, or whatever. But your philosophy differs somewhat in the treatment of this addiction, and furthermore, you separate gambling from the other addictions. Can you touch on that for us?
Well, I think gambling, the addictions paradigm applied to gambling really doesn't fit too well, in that it has overlooked a lot of risk factors that are involved in the games themselves, such as electronic gaming machines, that may be contributing to the problem. The problem with the addictions paradigm is that it assumes that the players are predisposed, either biologically, psychologically, socially, to develop problems. And what we're finding with electronic gaming machines is that a lot of normal, so-called normal people, those
mm-hmm.
without pre-existing problems or disorders, are running into a lot of trouble. So Game Planet's focus has been on how electronic gaming machines or other types of gambling may be contributing to the problem and how we can intervene to minimize the risk.
All right. And minimize the risk of becoming a problem or addictive gambler.
Yes.
Would the treatment, would you have any thoughts on the treatment then?
Well, the treatment for problem gamblers is evolving as we speak. The difference in the treatment between problem gambling and, say, alcoholics is that with problem gamblers, they have a lot of what we call misconceptions around how the games work, illusions of control over game outcomes that would be absent in substance abusers.
Mm.
And it's an integral part of the addiction itself. If the person actually believes that they have some control over outcomes of the game of chance, or that they can predict outcomes, or that they can actually make money from these machines or games, that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Haven't there been cases of people actually making money? Even if they were to go on and lose money, but...
Well, you can win at gambling, but the simple rule I use is the more you gamble, the more you're going to lose.
Yes.
Somebody can win a jackpot at a slot machine, but because they're all fixed to basically make money, if you continue to gamble with your jackpot, eventually you'll lose it all plus more.
Mm.
Like these are computer games. They're all programmed to take your money, and they do it in various ways by causing illusions, misrepresenting the true odds of winning, all sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Premier McGuinty, he's been quoted as saying, when referring to the government's dependency on gambling revenues,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps in a better world we wouldn't, but the fact of the matter is, gambling is here to stay. In light of the pending suits against the government for encouraging, albeit indirectly, gambling and gambling-related deaths, can we afford to keep it? And related to that, is $36 million enough for the research?
I don't think we... You know, this social experiment with gambling, especially electronic gaming machines, is coming to a head. Like,
mm-hmm.
The social cost is too high. The governments have to look at other ways of generating revenues and actually withdraw themselves from their dependence on gambling-related revenues. I think first they have to acknowledge their duty of care around protecting citizens rather than exploiting them.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a product that's implicated in at least 15 deaths a year, you have a big problem, especially when you're denying liability and not doing anything concrete to prevent harm, which I believe is highly preventable.
Okay. Okay. You had called into question that number of 15 deaths, gambling-related deaths per year, hadn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I would suspect it would be probably at least four times higher.
Wow.
And reflect the suicide rates related to gambling from other provinces. So
mm-hmm.
if it's roughly 6.3% of suicides, the numbers are probably more like upwards to 50 or 60 gambling-related deaths in Ontario per year.
Wow.
So that's a lot of... carnage
mm.
from a product that the government's pushing, and they push it in a way that does not acknowledge the risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I think we can't afford that.
Yes, yeah. Well, we can't afford it morally alone.
Right.
As opposed to financially, in terms of... there has been talk of bereaved family members turning around and suing the government for bereaved family members of victims of suicide because of gambling.
Yes, I think you'll see probably in the very near future some massive class action cases against the government for their negligence in putting in any protective measures as they expand to gambling. Right now, I believe it's totally out of control. Like,
mm-hmm.
the government knows that there's lots they can do. They put, I think you said $36 million, and I think they only spent $21 million, but that was basically on research and treatment, and the research focuses on finding the faults in the player rather than mm-hmm. looking at product safety issues.
Oh, all right, all right. And lastly, and I asked Dr. Lewis this as well, is this not a society-sanctioned problem? Just recently, I got a direct mail campaign letter from the Canadian Cancer Society offering me part of a 50-50 draw if I donated to the Canadian Cancer Society. All of our capitalist society depends, it's based on stocks and investments, and although this is low risk, it can be looked at as a gamble in part, and it just may be looked at as a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
However, our society benefits from that, yes, and is based on that. Now, do you have anything to say about this defense? It's all in the human nature.
Well, I think yes, gambling's been around for thousands of years, but I think within our society there's been an erosion of our basically values and morals by gambling, and by gambling promotion by our governments. Our governments over the last 20 years have normalized gambling to be perceived by the public as a good thing,
mm-hmm.
as a thing. It's almost your civic duty now to buy lottery tickets because mm-hmm. they spend so much on advertising telling you it's so good. So government promotion and advertising and running of gambling has actually shifted societal values. And people today are more prone to look at the easy way out rather than work hard. The work ethics that probably my parents had is like you work hard, you do a good job, and you'll be rewarded
yes.
in the end. Now it's
yes.
like if you take a gamble on the markets or go down to the casino, you'll be rewarded. And
mm-hmm.
it is a big societal problem. Another big societal problem is with the normalizing of gambling, because it's been one-sided normalizing, which is if this is good for you, it hasn't prepared the public, the general public, or warned them about the potential risks involved in these
mm-hmm.
activities, or the negative consequences to the individuals, families, or society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone so far now that it's corrupting our governments. It's corrupting
mm-hmm.
our values.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's corrupting our values. That's a very good spot to end our interview. Thank you so much, Roger Horbe, spending time with me today on this fascinating issue that I expect to hear much more of in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sheila.
This is Sheila O'Reilly of CFRU 93.3 FM, bringing you today the segment of Our Little Town.